Alabama Beat. From the sports desk of the Tuscaloosa News and TideSports.com. Now, the Bama Beat Podcast.
Welcome back to the Bama Beat. It's Tuesday, March 20th. You know what that means, Aaron Suttles?
First day of spring.
And
football!
Yeah, both of those things. Although I'm not sure if it really feels like spring outside.
I got caught with a short sleeve shirt. I didn't pay attention to that.
Yeah, Alabama does start spring football practice today, though. We're going to talk about that for a little bit on the podcast today. You wrote a story that ran this morning on TideSports.com and in the Tuscaloosa News, top five storylines going into spring. Do you want to recap some of that for the listeners?
Yeah, I think there are certain storylines this spring and quite frankly, questions that need beginnings to answer, that need to be beginning to be answered by the end of spring practice. One, we're not going to get an answer. It's pretty obvious. The Tua Jalen question, Nick Saban's not going to answer that, but we'll be able to see if Jalen's made any progress as a passer and how much more confident Tua is, if that's possible, because he's already a pretty confident player as it is. Two for me is the offensive line with the reports that Matt Womack has broken his foot and he'll be out for the spring. I don't think that does much to hinder the offensive line. That may be some combinations that they don't play around with because you don't want to get too thin on your tackle depth. I'll be curious.
Tackle is a spot where they overall probably feel pretty good, though, right now.
Yeah, for the most part. But you're also talking about they might move Jonah Williams inside to center. And so you're talking about taking a guy who's played both right tackle and left tackle, and now he's inside. We all saw Alex Leatherwood in the national championship game. They feel pretty good about him. I feel pretty good about Jedrick Wills.
I think they probably feel pretty good about Jedrick Wills as well.
And that's why, no offense to Matt Womack, but he doesn't really need a spring. He's unless he's out of conditioning, but he knows the ropes. And so now it's Jedrick's turn. Be interested to see what they do with right guard, whether it's still Lester Cotton. I don't know how long he was out from his injury. But so that's number two. Number three to me, and it's maybe my biggest question mark overall, is Mac Wilson mature enough to lead that defense?
Losing both senior starters.
Yeah, you lose Sean Deion Hamilton, you lose Rashawn Evans. He played pretty well, but he never was really the guy. And remember, he got injured last year. That kind of hampered his development. Is he mature enough to lead that defense? Because you're looking it's a possibility Keith Holcomb might not be out there this spring. So you're looking at a situation where it's Mac Wilson and 2B sophomore Dylan Moses. So they're going to need Mac to be the guy. Is he able to be that guy? Does he have the respect of his teammates to be that guy?
We should also say that there were points last season when the inside linebacker group was those three guys.
Yeah.
I think. After Sean Deion Hamilton went down, I think there was a little bit where Rashawn Evans.
Everyone
was
remembers
hurt.
The yeah. Mississippi State game.
Yeah, there was Mac Wilson and Dylan Moses and Keith Holcomb, and that was it, really.
Yeah. So that's probably the biggest question mark to me. And then, a couple of the secondary, obviously. They've lost their entire dime secondary. I thought, for the most part, Deontay Thompson played pretty well in the playoff run. I like his athleticism that he brings, probably an upgrade over Hootie Jones. And then how do six new coaches mesh with a team? And that's not including two guys that were with the team last year but are now in coordinator positions. So it's a revamped coaching staff, and they're going to have to hit the ground running. One thing, you probably noticed it when you first got to Alabama, when you cover this team, every second of practice is accounted for.
Yes.
They know where they're running. So I wondered if they had to do like a boot camp for the six new coaches, like this is where we run to at this mark, and this horn means this.
I'd be curious to see that if they go through and they do a walkthrough with the assistant coaches during spring
break.
They
have to, right? Those are the question marks that I have for spring.
Is it fair to say that's a few more than you might see in a normal offseason in Alabama?
Yeah. And I didn't even mention the special team situation.
Yeah. That wasn't in the top five.
Is Joseph, and it really could be. Is Joseph Bulovas, is he ready to be the guy? There's a new punter. Alabama fans have had this comfort, this security blanket for 4 years, and J.K. Scott. That's gone. Who handles kickoffs? So, that probably should be in the top five.
Yeah. Like I was saying right there, Alabama loses a fair bit every year. Every year there are first-round draft picks that go out. There's All-Americans that leave. There's guys like Minkah Fitzpatrick that walk out the door and aren't coming back in. But at the same time, I don't know if every year you rebuild the whole secondary.
No.
If you have to... The inside linebackers, at least in the last 3 or 4 years, have kind of been staggered where you've had one senior and one junior, and guys have come back, so they haven't had to replace both of those guys at the same time until this year. Replacing Calvin Ridley as well, your number one wide receiver. I think they probably like the talent there, but still have to work some things out. And you're doing all of this, like you said at the very beginning, kind of under the backdrop of what's going on at the quarterback position, which, for better or worse, will receive more attention than anything else that we talk about here or anything else that's written about in the next 4 weeks.
Yeah, when we go out there for the first practice, it'll be more than just local or state media focusing on this. The national media will pay attention to who took the first rep. Mm-hmm. We're not going to learn anything from that, but I want to go back to something that you said that is key to me in this secondary. Part of that is more than just losing those six guys. When they brought Minkah Fitzpatrick in, he had the benefit of playing his freshman season with the best pass rush in the country. Mm-hmm. They had to rely on their secondary a lot last year to get pressure to supplement the pass rush.
Covered sacks, yeah.
So are they going to get, if that defensive line play isn't upgraded and your outside linebackers, you're not getting as much pressure, now you're putting a raw secondary with no benefit of a pass rush. That means you got to hold coverage longer.
And also a new defensive backs coach as you're doing it. You know,
Carl Scott, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm still testing myself on all these new names.
I know. For those of you all who are listening, we had our planning meeting yesterday where the staff sat down and looked at the schedule for spring football and who was going to be where, when, and what we needed to do and things like that. And as Cecil Hurt put it, everyone on the coaching staff is either new in a new position,
yep,
or Brent Key. You were one of those three categories.
I like the last one. That's good. It's true, because two of the coaches that are coming back now, Tosh is still going to coach outside linebackers, but now he's got the responsibility of calling the defense. And mm-hmm. Mike Loxley, I think we know probably a little more what we're going to get from Mike Loxley than we do how Tosh Lapoy will fit in as a first time defensive coordinator. It's just a lot. There was a lot of turnover. It's a lot of young guys, new faces, and new positions. And as Cecil said, and Brent Key.
Yeah. Cecil's even funnier in person than he is on the podcast.
No, without question.
Yeah, for those of you all listening out there. So do you have any idea what you're going to be writing about today coming out of this? Is it just going to be a standard first day of spring story? Do you know what you're going to ask Nick Saban?
I probably will. I expect to get a confirmation from Alabama on Matt Womack, mm-hmm, in his status from Nick Saban. Other than that, it's the first day of spring. We'll probably see some experiments, the start of some experiments with some veteran players. As I mentioned, maybe Jonah's at center. Mm-hmm. So we'll see some. Maybe we'll see the junior college transfer cornerback, Savion Smith. I've heard they're really impressed with him.
I was going to make sure that we talked about him before we
were out of here. If he's running, you know, high up the depth chart. I know there is no depth chart. Sorry, Nick.
It's a rep chart.
Rep chart. So, yeah, probably some of that stuff, the nuts and bolts. And then, you know, because what are you going to say? It's been one practice that Nick Saban's had, so.
Yeah. The obvious answer, of course, is that we're not going to get very many answers to any of these questions today. No. And we might not really have any answers to them by the end of spring.
No, especially a quarterback.
Yeah.
Just go, I mean, don't even have any anxiety over it. There is no use because you're not finding out. He's not going to name a starter in fall camp. He's going to go into the Louisville game. And in all due respect to Louisville, Ben, you could play quarterback versus Louisville this year. With Alabama's talent, it's not going to matter. If they had Lamar Jackson, maybe it's different.
I'm just going to hand the ball off to Damian and Najee about 48 times.
That's probably a good offensive game plan. But, you know, there's no need to address the quarterback situation. He's going to get asked. He's going to get angry. He's going to get irritated. But
we're going to think of new ways to ask it, because we have 5 months to think of new ways to ask
it. But to ease your concerns as a fan, don't have any anxiety right now, because there's no need to. Because if you're going to have anxiety in March, I mean, it's going to go all the way through August.
I'm going to make an obscure pop culture reference here. So I'm reading the Tom Clancy book right now. Have you ever seen the movie Hunt for Red October?
I have.
You know the scene where Red October sails out and Sean Connery is talking with the crew on the submarine. He says, "For many years, we've played our great game with the Americans." That's what it feels like with Nick Saban. Yeah. For many years, we played this great quarterback game with him where we've asked the same questions.
I mean, it's really gone back to – you got to go back to A.J. McCarron's senior year in 2013. Mm-hmm. When it was, there were no question marks. I mean, even last year.
Last year, nobody really asked about it. There were some rumblings and whispers on the fringe. No one openly questioned whether or not.
Yeah, but it wasn't as secure as it was at AJ. So
right.
It's been a few years. Nick Saban's an old, wily veteran at this point of dodging quarterback questions.
Let's also talk a little bit more about the secondary. I think you're probably right, and Savion Smith is probably as good a bet as anyone to take one of those starting cornerback jobs. The other one seems to be probably a little bit more up in the air. If I had to guess, I'd say it would be Trayvon Diggs who takes the first rep out there today. Of course, he was also the guy who took the first rep out there against Florida State, and very quickly that became Levi Wallace's job.
Yeah, I'm always curious, and please don't take this as me being critical of Nick Saban. That guy knows more football than I will ever know. But I do find it odd that certain positions he's more lenient with when they make mistakes, and others he's not. And defensive back and cornerback's a position that he really doesn't tolerate mistakes. And
I'm also not going to pretend that I know the intricacies of playing cornerback well enough to know how bad big those mistakes
are. Yeah. Exactly. But we see Trayvon, he starts, a lot of people forget, he started against Florida State. Mm-hmm. And we don't see him again. It's over. Like, there are no second chances.
I think there was an ankle sprain in there at some point. But.
And so I think Trayvon's too good of an athlete. And probably, you know, his brother is an NFL football player. He's got a lot of motivation. I'd be shocked if he's not the guy. But, you know, they got Jaren Maiden. They got Shaheem Carter. And so they got some guys they want to try out. By the way, did you see the picture of Jaren Maiden from spring break?
I did, yeah. He made us look bad.
He makes Tony Brown look average.
I don't know about
well,
that.
Well, I'd probably be being too over the top there, but no, he's built.
Tony
makes me wonder if he's outgrown
genetics.
Corner. Maybe he's a money or the star now.
Maybe they're looking for one of those too. You know,
well, they're looking for only guy that's got a position nailed down. Probably is Deontay, and I think they feel pretty good about those two freshmen they got, Xavier McKinney and Daniel Wright. I think they'll be somewhere in the mix.
Yeah, if not this year, then maybe a year or two down the line. I'd say Deontay and Savion Smith are probably the two guys that you can pencil in somewhere in the secondary. Don't know for sure maybe which cornerback spot or which safety spot, but I think they'll probably both start against Louisville.
Yeah, and then, you know, I know this is focused on spring, but over the summer, Patrick Surtain Jr., this is a guy whose dad played, so he's going to come in, who played and knows Nick Saban. You know, he'll be, I would imagine he's a guy that would hit the ground running.
Yeah.
But that's for fall.
And we have five more months to talk about Patrick Surtain and all of those guys. There are going to be some early enrollees or some December enrollees out there, right? Not nearly as many this year.
Yeah, Slade Bolden, I believe the punter, Skylar DeLong.
Imagine all the puns we'll have with that name in the next 4 years.
Yeah. So there, Stephon Wynn, the IMG.
I think so. He's an outside linebacker, defensive end. Yeah.
So there are a few, but far less than, what was it, 16 last year?
Yeah.
That was insane. Far fewer.
Smaller recruiting class this year, and I think they also didn't have guys who were either ready to come in or they didn't. Right. I don't think they have anybody who came in during February like they did last year.
No.
So kind of moving along. On the offensive side of the ball, like we said, everything is going to kind of happen under the umbrella of quarterback. But I still think there's some intrigue to be had at the other skill positions. You've got Miller Forrestall, who's
back.
Is he going to be back from his ACL injury?
I don't know if he'll be back fully, but I would imagine he's out there for conditioning.
Yeah.
He may not be cutting yet, but he'll be straight line running.
That happened pretty early in the season last year. I remember last spring, Sean Dion was at least at practice and doing stuff with trainers, if not doing 11-on-11
stuff. A
lot
of conditioning
stuff. And that was obviously in December when he got hurt a couple months after when Miller got hurt. But in any event, you still have guys like Irv Smith and Hale Hinch out there who are going to be trying to find a spot. Mm-hmm. Major Tennyson and some of the other guys at that
Kendrick
position.
Kendrick James.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of young guys at that position, really, outside of Hinch's.
Yeah, and you know, this was a kind of a shocking quote at the time, or remark, but Nick Saban has compared Miller Forstall. He said he's got some O.J. Howard ability, so a little more of a playmaking tight end than an inline tight end.
Yeah.
But I was really impressed from the growth that I've seen from Irv Smith Jr. He played a lot during the national championship game. I mean, he was on the field for the game-winning touchdown pass. I think he's just a guy that you can utilize as a mismatch player. He's tough enough. He can block. He can be an H-back. He's athletic enough to run after the catch. I really like his game.
Also, I'm curious to see what Najee Harris does in this ring, because it seemed like the national championship game was his biggest
launching
game of the
pad.
Season. Yeah, yeah. You know, obviously Damian Harris is going to be there, and you would expect Damian to end up taking the first carry at running back.
Right.
But Najee is going to have a bigger role this season.
I was having a conversation with someone who told me that Najee Harris was really going to cut into Damian Harris's carries, to which my retort was, Damian carried the ball 9 times a game. How much are you cutting into that?
Exactly.
But the point remains, he was really good in the national championship game.
Yeah.
And I think if there's any carries that might get cut, Josh Jacobs, can he stay healthy? Because if he can, they really love the different ways they can utilize him. Mm-hmm. We didn't get to see it a ton last year. Those hamstrings.
And he was also kind of injured down the stretch.
Too. Those hamstrings really bothered him for a lot of the season. So if he can stay healthy, those are your guys. And don't forget, they really like Brian Robinson, kid from here in Tuscaloosa. So they're loaded again at running back.
Yeah. I would assume that a guy like Damian Harris will probably be one of the leaders of the team this year. He'll be one of the first guys who comes up, speaks with the media. He'll probably be one of the guys who leads the team in stretching a lot of the time.
They trust him. He stays on message. Listen, if I had gotten him off the record last year and asked him, were you really happy? I mean, I know you're saying all the right things in interviews, but you're carrying the ball 9 times a game. And at one point, he was averaging about 8 or 9 yards a carry.
Another obscure pop culture reference.
Yes.
Maybe not quite as obscure from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. 9 times.
I mean, and I wrote a story about it, and Nick Saban kind of took a shot at it in one of his press conferences. But this guy is a pretty good football player, and he's been a great team guy. So I think he's a natural. I think we'll see him in Hoover. Hoover in Atlanta for SEC Media Days. And he's just a guy you look at. I don't know how he's thought of amongst his teammates. It seems he's pretty well regarded.
I'd say so.
I would not be shocked if he's a permanent team captain at the end of the year.
Yeah. I'd say that might be one of the reasons why he came back, you know, for his senior season. Also, you know, you talked about they really trust him. I think you were referring more to off the field and kind of the way that he handles himself.
Yeah.
But it's the same way on the field. He does everything they want a running back to do. You know, I would disagree with whoever was telling you that Najee was going to cut into his carries, because there's not a point when they ever feel like they have to take him off the field. They can leave him in there in any situation.
And listen, a lot of other backs might have pouted during the national championship game. He didn't get a ton of carries, wasn't utilized a lot, but there was one key pass right on the right flat that they hit him with. He put a move on a guy and got about 15 yards. He says the right things, and whether he believes them or not, he goes out and backs it up. He's just a perfect team guy.
Yeah. I know you need to actually get over there to be able to see the first practice, write up a practice report. Anything we didn't cover? Anything else we want to talk about before you get out of here?
No, I think that's it. You'll catch up. By the time you're listening to this, we're recording this on Tuesday, but just a reminder, there'll be practice reports up at TideSports.com. Check out those, and we'll have photo galleries of all the new coaches and all the new players, and I know you guys can't wait to see that.
Good thinking. Plug the site. I would never think of something like that. That's why we keep you around here. Okay, Aaron, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And thanks for listening, everybody. We got 4 weeks of spring practice coming up for you guys.